I'm reading from the book of Judges, chapter 3, verse 7. Judges 3, verse 7. So the sons of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and they forgot the Lord their God, and served the Baals and the Asherah.
I think Archie can make a living reading scripture. He does a great job doing that. I wanted to go over to Judges and talk a little bit tonight. I had to do some learning on Judges because I've known the stories of the Judges. You know, Gideon. I love the story of Gideon. That's pretty cool. Deborah still confuses me, but it's a good story. There's other judges. But for some reason, it never clicked with me. What's the point of the judges? Why did they need judges? Why didn't they do something else? And so I did a little bit of study and got myself on the same page with God through the scriptures and tried to figure it out. So, you know, we had a great couple of presentations this week that talked about the Passover, that talked about the plagues, and the people of Israel being freed from bondage and brought out to the promised land. And there was many good things that they were blessed with. It was a land flowing with milk and honey, and they were challenged. And so, you know, Moses led them, and then, you know, we had leadership after him that was pretty good. You know, Caleb is one of those, one of the two spies that said good things about the land and told Israel, we need to go take it. So there was good things going on there, and there was good leadership. But eventually, that leadership died off. And what happens to people sometimes? They forget the good things. They forget what got them there. And they start doing their own will. And the people of Israel certainly did that. They forgot that God took them out of bondage. They forgot to do things that were godly. And so they started doing things that were according to their own mindset. There's several reasons why the judges had to come up. And I'll come back to that in a minute. But I want to talk about a little bit for a minute the reasons why the Israelites had a downfall between Joshua and the judges. First, they had a loss of leadership that was based in God. Joshua's death removed the only leader who had carried out God's commands faithfully. Without a strong, unified leader, the tribes became more independent and religious and moral standards weakened. There was nobody to call them to God. They all started doing their own thing. They backslid into idolatry. Judges 2, 10 through 13 records that another generation rose up who did not know the Lord or the works that he had done for Israel. This new generation had no firsthand experience of God's deliverance. They turned to the gods of the surrounding nations, the Baals and the Asherahs, and they forgot the covenant with God. They had a failure to obey God's commands to drive out the Canaanite peoples. Although Joshua conquered much of Canaan, the tribes did not fully eliminate the Canaanite inhabitants, as they were told. This left a mix of Israelites and Canaanites in the land and created cultural and religious influence from pagan influences. God told them, get rid of this. Get rid of these people. This is your land. You take it. You follow me. They didn't do it. And they started mixing around with people who had ideas that were not based on God. Which is kind of interesting because today we're told be in the world, but not of the world. We're light and salt to the world. So we can't go live in a separatist colony. And God tried to tell them to stay away from these things, and they wouldn't even do it back then. So God gave us a new and better way, but that's another story. Anyway, they didn't drive out the Canaanite people. There was fragmentation of the people. The absence of a single national leader meant the tribes often acted independently. The fragmentation made it harder to maintain a unified religious identity. I mean, we can see that in our country. You know, people talk about the left coasts and the flyover states and the South and the North, and everybody's got their own viewpoints on things. So I was particularly in line with Mickey's calling out the Battle of Gettysburg because, you know, we won that one. Okay, anyway, people were fragmented. They were fragmented and they were not unified behind God. They were not unified as the nation of Israel. They started doing tribal things. And so what Judges proves is the beginning of this cycle that goes on and on and on, a cycle of sin and then deliverance. It's marked by this cycle where Israel falls into idolatry, they suffer oppression, they cry out to God, and then they're delivered by a judge that was raised up by God. And then once that judge has died, the cycle begins all over again. This happens over and over and over in the book of Judges. And I would say it happens over and over and over again after Judges as well, just in different ways. So I had a business leader in my office a few years ago, and she called us all to lead from where we're at. And it was kind of like, okay, I mean, what do you mean? You know, what are you talking about? And so what her idea was that if something comes up that needs to be dealt with, don't wait for marching orders, go deal with it, right? Don't run everything up the line to the big boss and expect them to make the decision. You lead from where you're at. And I think that's a generally good thing if you trust your people. You know, if you trust your people are going to make good decisions, if you've told them that what your expectations are and train them well, that's a good thing. There are some people I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them with leading from where they're at because I don't know where I'm going to end up at, right? You know, if you're driving down the road with somebody who knows the area pretty well, you're probably going to get where you're supposed to go. If you're driving with somebody in a different state and they don't know where they're at, you could end up in the wrong part of town, right? Or you could end up in the best part of town, but you're not where you wanted to go. You wanted to go to the hospital, not to the best part of town, right? So anyway, she said, lead where you're at. And that made me think about the judges, because I think the judges raised up by God were trying to lead from where they were. I think they were trying to lead their people back towards God. And the first judge is a guy that was called to deliver the people. His name was Othniel. Othniel in Judges 3:9 says, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. So this would have been Caleb's nephew. And God raised him up to save Israel. And you know, it's always amazing. We cry out for leadership to save us. We get into a place where we're not happy, where things are going wrong, where we feel like we're in a bad place. We especially do that in and nations. And we cry out for somebody to come along to save us. Well, in this case, they cried out to God, and he raised up Othniel. Othniel, in Judges 1:13, it says, "And Caleb said, 'Whoever attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, to him will I give Aksha, my daughter, as wife.' And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured it." All right, so that's a pretty unique way to find a wife, right? "You go take these people, and I'll give you my daughter." Wow, he must have been really motivated. I bet she was really pretty. Anyway, he was a man that was prepared for the mission. Othniel had already demonstrated courage by conquering the city of Kiriath Sefer. And so God uses those who are willing to act with faith and determination. He prepared Othniel for his greater mission, testing and refining him beforehand. So Othniel went out and proved that he was able to do good things by taking over these people. And that was in preparation for the work that God was going to have for him as a judge. I can't speak enough to the idea of preparation. You know, one of the things I appreciate about David, and when he's getting ready to teach a class, is he's prepared. And he sweats it out. And he's worried about what questions might be asked, right? So he gets prepared ahead of time. So you can ask David anything. He knows. He's great. Make sure you do that after services tonight, okay? David's pretty awesome with his Bible classes. And I very much appreciate that he's prepared. We as Christians, yes, we need to act, but we also need to be prepared. We need to think about what we're going to do and get ready, and then go do it. In Judges 3:10, the scripture says, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon him," that is Othniel, "and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, in his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cushan-Rishathaim." I wish I would have had Anthony read the scripture tonight. I would have given him Judges 3:10. So, anyway, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. The true power to win battles doesn't come from human strength. Sometimes we think that if a church is going to be great, then, you know, it's on us to be strong, that we have to be the best, that we have to be able to accomplish everything, that we have to be the strongest, that everybody around us has to be perfect. That's just not how it works. Yes, we need to be diligent. Yes, we need to work. But we're never going to be perfect. The true power to win the battles comes from God, the presence of God's Spirit. Do we seek divine empowerment? Do we seek that in fulfilling our mission? Are you feeding off the scriptures? Are you with him in prayer every day? Are you encouraging and being encouraged by the brethren? These things will allow the Spirit to be upon us. The Spirit of the Lord was the source of Othniel's victories. We need to also remind ourselves that when we're great, it isn't because of what we did, it's because of what God did. God demonstrates in the scriptures more than once that he takes the weak and he does great things with them. He takes those who are the underdog and shows through his might that's how things were won. It is God and his Spirit that helps us to be great. Again, in Judges 3:8, that's the scripture after the one that Archie read. "Therefore the anger of the Lord was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia." Why? Because they did everything that they thought was right in their eyes. It wasn't what was right in God's eyes. It wasn't consulting Scripture to understand what God wanted. It was, we're going to do what we think's right. There's too much of that. We base things based on our views, not on God's views. So what did God do? He allowed them to be sold back into slavery. Can you imagine that? All the things that they went through to get out of Egyptian slavery, and now they're right back where they started, except with a different group of people. They had to be reminded of what their forefathers went through. They had to be reminded that doing things away from God was not the game plan. Israel turned away from God and suffered the consequences. Disobedience always brings oppression and hardship. This serves as a stark warning. Turning away from God leads to suffering. I'm not saying that all suffering comes because of that. I think some suffering comes because people make stupid decisions that impact you. Friday night, here and I were driving down the road, and I got over to the left-hand lane and stopped my car. And the guy behind me, I don't know what he was doing, but wasn't expecting me to stop, I guess. And he slammed on his brakes, and they were still probably 3 to 6 feet behind me. So we were okay. The guy behind him, bam, right into the back of him. It was not a good thing. You know, that guy got stopped in time. It wasn't his decision that caused the problem. It was the guy behind him, right? So sometimes people make decisions that impact us. That's when we turn to God. But there are many times when we make decisions not based on God's desire or trusting in Him, and that gets us into a place where we suffer. When we turn back to Him, we can move away from that suffering and deal with whatever the outcome is. In Judges 3:9, when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer, and that was Othniel. Do we understand when we cry out to God that it moves His heart? When we look at the judges, do we understand that God's heart was with His people? That He wanted them to be blessed? That He wanted them to be close to Him? When they cried out to Him, God raised up a deliverer, and that was Othniel. And Othniel set a great example of faith and courage. In verse 10, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, in his hand, and his hand prevailed over them. Othniel trusted God and was victorious in battle. Faith in God gives us strength to overcome impossible challenges. Othniel's example shows us that when we place our trust in God, He empowers us to conquer even the most formidable foes. And you could say, well, you know, he was a general on a battlefield. I think we have foes that we face in our life today that God still helps us with. The sins that are particular to us and temptation are things that God can deal with. When people make bad decisions, we can be a light and salt in the world. And we can be victorious, and we can set an example for others. We can lead from where we're at. Othniel was a judge who brought peace to his nation. Judges 3:11, and the land had rest for 40 years. For 40 years, because of Othniel, the land had peace. His leadership brought that period of peace to Israel. His obedience to God brings stability and blessings to the people. When we obey God, do we get that stability? Do we experience those blessings? When we walk in God's ways, do we experience His peace? Do we understand that someone loves us? When we walk in Him, we can have rest in our lifetime. Othniel's legacy was that he's a leader that was chosen by God. Again, we read Judges 3:9. He was raised up as a deliverer. He was raised up by God, not by men. You know, we always try to look for some man or some woman out there in our politics that's going to lead us to greatness, right? What's all the different campaign slogans that have been over the years? They're all about leading the country to greatness in some way. Are we looking for somebody that's raised up by God? And are we looking for that person closer to home than the White House? Is there somebody in a congregation that you look up to because they do great work, because they're encouraging, because you know they'll be there and they'll be your friend? Is there somebody in your family that's close to God? Is there somebody that you work with that's close to God? These are the leaders that we need to be looking at in our daily life. Othniel and Caleb set positive examples for the people. Judges 1:13, and Caleb said, "Whoever attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, to him I will give my daughter Aksha." And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, conquered it. Othniel was influenced by Caleb. Caleb was a man of faith. It might not be a stretch to say that Caleb was a mentor to Othniel. We should walk with people who encourage us to trust God. The power of positive influence cannot be overstated. We're called to surround ourselves with those who strengthen our faith. I've seen people who are dealing with a lot of difficult things. And there are times when we get into a woe is me kind of ideology in our head, because so many bad things have been going on and we just don't know, and we shake our heads and we're frustrated and we're saddened. But somebody that's a member of the church can talk to you and reassure you about who God is, about what Jesus has done, about your inheritance in heaven, about the strength that he gives us. When we go back and read scriptures about how we'll mount up on wings of eagles, do we believe that? These things set a positive example and help others who are dealing with desperate times. Othniel and Caleb were able to do that for their people. Othniel was an example of what a true deliverer is. He is a type of Christ, the eternal deliverer. Just as Othniel freed Israel from oppression, Jesus frees us from the bondage of sin and death. Jesus is the ultimate deliverer, the one who brings lasting peace and salvation. Who are we crying out for? We want our sins washed away. We want to walk in newness of life. Who are we calling out for? When we look around us and we see all the horrible things in the world, what do we want? We want to be delivered. We want to be away from this. You know, there's a reason why people go to a beach in Florida for vacation, because they don't want to be around everything back in Ohio for a week, right? Especially in the wintertime. Snow plows and if Ohio State loses any game, that's all people talk about around here, right? You know? And then you throw in the political stuff on top of that, and it's like, bleh. People want to get away from it all. Well, I'm going to tell you, becoming a Christian is the ultimate get away from it all. You can be a Christian and look forward to a future that is beautiful. You know, Dad talked about those mansions this morning. I told Kara I want a gold one that's silver lined. So we want the greatest, man. We want the deliverer to take care of us, and he will always do so. Othniel's story is a reminder of God's unwavering commitment to his people. When we cry out to him, he hears us. He raises us. He delivers. He empowers us with his spirit, and he brings peace to our lives. We need to learn from Othniel's example, placing our trust in God, seeking his empowerment, and walking in obedience to his commands. Let's always remember that Jesus Christ is the ultimate deliverer, the one who sets us free from sin and leads us to eternal life. This evening, if you need a deliverer, we would be happy to baptize you into Christ, washing away your sins. If you've had a rough life lately and you need the help of your friends, you need encouragement and strength, we would love to pray with you and help you in any way we can. Please come while we stand and sing.